to ViralCast, MovieViral.com's official podcast. Today we have a very special Lost podcast where we're going to cover The End, the name of the final episode of Lost in its six glorious seasons. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site. I'm here with Chris, who is a writer for the site, and Grim. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right, so first let's kind of just go over the meat of the show. I mean, obviously, spoilers abound, so do not venture any further unless you want to hear them. You know, if you watch
right,
the episode... yeah, Chris is out, sorry. So if you haven't, you know, obviously you've seen the episode and everything, so we're not going to try to bore you with all the details. But the big thing, everyone wanted to know, you know, how is this going to end? How is this all going to come together? The first thing probably would be on the island... you know, the big issue is, you know, is Locke going to be able to get off? Is he going to, you know, fake Locke? Is he going to be able, what's going to happen if he does? So finally we realize that they, you know, Jack realizes that Desmond is really the key to all this. And, you know, Locke already had figured that out, that Desmond could be something where he could utilize him. So we find out what they're planning to do is to let Desmond go into the source, as some people call it. It's the cave with the light in it that supposedly is the heart of the island. So they let Desmond, they actually lower Desmond in there because he has that, with a immunity, if you will, to electromagnetism. And so he goes down there, and what does he find? He finds this, like, crazy Egyptian contraption that's, like, really interesting. It's just to look at it, and it's kind of like a plug. So basically you have a pool of water, the light coming out of it, and then you have, like, this sort of, like, cork, if you will, like just like in the... alliteration that they had earlier with Jacob and the Man in Black, where they had the cork in the bottle. I think that's what they were alluding to. and they had so basically he moves the cork and the water goes away, everything turns red and the light goes away, and the island just has like massive earthquakes and stuff. and so it looks like, you know, it's gonna sink or it's gonna do something really bad. So they kind of realize, oh no, we've done exactly what he wanted them to. You know, Jack realizes that's exactly what Locke wanted them to do. But in the process, they realize that they both become sort of like mortal, so they can actually kill each other since there's no more light. So they end up having this big fight sequence, which is actually pretty badass. You guys think, wasn't that a pretty cool fight sequence, guys?
It was.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked this, right before they went to the commercial where he does that huge lunge with the punch.
They always leave you hanging at the end.
That was really cool.
Even, you know, during the show, it's just, it was great.
And so they had this big fight, and then it ends up Jack kills fake Locke, you know, the Man in Black. But the island's still falling apart, so they have to go back, and Jack ends up replugging it, putting the cork back in the bottle, if you will, and lets Desmond survive, because Desmond had survived even though he was, like, out, conscious. And Jack sacrifices himself, but he ends up being... because he was... Like I said, Jack obviously had... become the new Jacob, if you will, the new protector of the island. Before he went down in there to recork it, he knew he was going to die from it, so he gave Hurley the role of the new protector of the island. And Jack ends up somewhere else, very similar to how the Man in Black was, although he actually was alive when he wakes up on top of a rock or something. And then he walks into the bamboo sticks where forest area where he originally was. Where he originally woke up from the plane crash, and then he nicely dies. And that leads us to the alternate reality, which we find out is very interesting, is the fact that it's really that they're all dead. One of the big jokes about the series early on, people kept thinking, like, oh, is the island purgatory? Is it all a dream? Is it a metaphor? And so one of the big things was, like, they're all dead. And that actually ends up being not the... what the island was, but what this alternate reality was. And that the point was that they created this as a way to find each other, because that's the only way they could move on, was to have this lifestyle that they all had and then find each other, and then they can move on once they're ready. It's actually pretty touching. I mean, there's a lot of really good moments in it, I thought. And, you know, you watching it at first, I was like, God, I really didn't like that ending, but then it kind of grew on me. Because it kind of feels like you get some great emotional closure, at least. We'll start with Chris. Chris, what did you think of that ending and how they did all that?
I personally never really thought they died, because Yeah, you're telling me that this entire... They had this entire history. They lived this entire alternate life only for it to be purgatory? You know what? That I just still thought it was just an alternate timeline where they just remembered what they did in another timeline.
I mean, that's what
that's what I thought.
I mean, that's what they were, you know, alluding to throughout throughout the sixth season, but that's what they reveal at the end that... I mean, I don't... Because, like you said, he says that I'm dead, and that's why his dad's there, because they're all dead. So it was really just this kind of, like, afterlife thing. I mean, that's a big thing about the show, is that it's kind of become this whole thing about faith, and obviously love, especially this season, love has become a big theme also. But this whole idea of faith versus, you know, logic and stuff like that, that's become a big factor. So obviously there's... especially once you start kind of learning about Jacob and their whole kind of almost... mystical powers. I think it makes sense that this went that route to a certain degree. It was a little weird for me because I felt like it wasn't like necessary, I guess. I mean, it was important for the end of the show, I guess, because you really get this great closure, but it didn't, obviously all those events don't really mean anything. I mean, it was nice for us to see them get to live these lives that they didn't have a chance to in their real lives, but that's the whole point of this universe they had created for themselves. But it was very weird, and it was, but it still felt really good. I think to at the end you still feel that kind of happiness. That's at least what I felt.
Yeah, because I think a large part of the community wanted to know more about the island when really this entire thing was about the characters and their closure.
Right.
That's what even the creator said in its true heart and soul. The show Lost is a character study.
Right.
Not really about the island. So that's what they were going to end it with the character study, not necessarily the whole thing being about the island itself.
Right, that was a big thing that they even mentioned, too, is that, you know, the finale would give you emotional closure, but not necessarily, like, mythological closure, because there's almost nothing you could do. I mean, you'd have to go through a laundry list of explanations, and that's going to be a really boring finale if you do that. So I think they kind of just decided, look, we're not even going to really try to attempt to answer all these questions that, you know, we may not even, as the creators, we don't really feel are necessarily important. So we're going to focus on the things that are important, which is the characters and having closure for them. So, I mean, if you're going to go, you got to go all out. So I think that they, you know, if they based on that decision that they made, I think they did pretty good. What do you think, Grim?
I was completely blown away about the end. Like you were saying, like they stayed away from the mythological part of the series, part of the show, and I was looking forward to that, actually, but...
Yeah, I know.
The way they did it, though, the way they added the emotion and, you know, the tearjerker moments, I thought it worked out really well in the end, and I don't know, I liked it a lot. So.
Yeah, I thought it definitely was emotional. I mean, I was going through kind of my laundry list of which scenes that I cry at, and I was trying to remember where it was, and sometimes I get really emotional when I watch TV series that I've watched for a while, you know, because you care about the characters. This, I've always had that with, I mean, when Jin and Sun first remember their past, that got me. Saeed and Shannon, even though that was so long ago of a relationship, and it was relatively short, I still, like, you know, I teared up when I saw that. And then the one that got me almost bawling on the, you know, just, like, really crying out loud was Charlie and Claire.
Yes.
That was such a great scene, and it was such a... I don't know what it was about that moment, but, man, it just got me. And then, of course, at the end, too, you kind of... You know, you're just kind of... Your head's reeling from what's going on, but you're also kind of... I definitely was a little teary-eyed at the end there, too. I mean, was that pretty much the same for you guys?
Same here. I think the part that got me the most was... Vincent the dog just running up to Jack, you know, just like in the end of the series and laying right next to him. I'm like, oh, that's so...
it was a great mirror to the pilot, you know, and you love Vincent and how he was loyal to the end, you know.
And the whole end is like closing a story, you know, closing a book.
Right.
Basically, it opens up as Jack waking up, and then it closes as Jack essentially dies.
Yeah. So, that was something interesting because, you know, if you guys have heard anything about the pilot... episode, the original concept was that by the end of the pilot episode, Jack was supposed to be dead.
Yes, yeah.
And that was supposed to be like a special guest star.
Michael Keaton
was like the big name that they kept, that everyone talks about. And the fact that he ended up becoming such a pivotal role. And I always thought that, like, I was wondering because I thought he was going to become Jacob. And I was like, how are they going to make him Jacob, you know, the protector, if, like, they never planned, like, that made me kind of question their whole, like, we have it all planned out, because, like, he was supposed to be dead, but you see how it turned out that, you know, he wasn't, so it gave me a little more faith in them. But I know, Chris, you were saying, give me a good story about your emotional response to this film.
Film? What film?
I mean, practically, it was 2.5 hours. It was practically a film.
Yeah. I just, I still am emotional because pretty much, this is going to get a little personal, but just about a good decade, more than that, probably my whole life, I've never really emotionally cried at anything, even funerals or anything. I've never really cried,
Wow.
period. Yes. And some forms of media, movies, TV shows, gotten really close, but nothing like Lost. At that finale with Christian opening up the doors, that was just so that I cried. I literally cried. Two tears went down my eyes. And it just showed me, it's a little funny, but it just showed me that I am capable of caring about something, that I'm not just some robot or hollow kind of thing. It just, it really,
Terminator.
yeah, that's what the show did to me. And I have to say, I have to really thank the creators, anyone who helped on that. It's really, thank you so much. You have no idea what you've done.
Yeah, I would agree. Like the that's the thing that's so surprising about the show. You know, everyone always talks about, and what supposedly keeps people in it is the mythology. And everyone talks about, oh, you know, what's the answer to this? What's the answer to that? And then it was almost surprising for me this a couple times this season, but especially this episode, to see the emotional response you're getting and how much you want to see certain things happen. Like you want to see Claire and Charlie reconnect, and you know, it's something where you almost didn't realize how much you cared about these characters, because you're thinking throughout the entire series, you're so focused on the mythology that you kind of forgot that, oh yeah, I care about who these people are. And so, you know, like I said, even something as minute as the Saeed and Shannon relationship, you know, that just shows you how well these characters were written and how well this episode especially was made. But you know, it brings it all together, because you just almost forget, because everyone's so much focuses on that mythology. So it's like, I think that's brilliant that they were able to do that, and they were able to kind of remind people. That's basically what they were doing in this episode. Was like, hey, you know, we know you have a lot of questions, but that shouldn't matter. What like get, you forgot about. It's almost like this theme of the episode was like, look, you got to remember, then move on, you know. And that's basically what they
Yeah.
were kind of doing. It's like, remember that what you really cared about was these characters, and then now you can move on since the show's over. I thought that was, I mean, in certain ways, it's really brilliant.
Actually, I think what the Lost finale really is trying to say, really behind the scenes kind of thing, is that they're saying to all the really hardcore Lost fans, yeah, it's time to let go and move on to another show.
Yeah.
That's what they're really saying.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And I think they want to say that, especially because everyone so much focuses on all the little details and, you know, answering all their questions. And they're kind of like, look, guys, relax. Like, let's move on. You know, remember the greatness of the show, and then let's just move on to something else, because they don't want to be hounded with those questions forever. So that's something that's why they haven't really talked much about all the little details.
Why 32 and not 33, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Things like that. So, what do you guys think of Mr. Hurley becoming the new protector of the island?
I always thought it was going to be Hurley. No, I'm kidding. I liked it. I was a little disappointed at first, but
Who'd you want it
it's
to
like,
be?
well, I thought it was going to be Desmond in like a twist of events, but
Oh,
since
interesting.
that didn't happen, I guess Hugo was the next option. I mean, Sawyer wasn't really going to be. He didn't really care for the job, really.
Yeah.
He didn't want the job. And Kate obviously didn't want the job when Jacob offered it to her. And
Yeah.
I thought, and Hurley at first didn't want the job either. He said, I'd hate to be the guy who has that job. And how ironic is that? He's the guy who ends up with the job.
Well, I mean, it mirrors Jacob getting the job to a certain degree, because remember, he was kind of reluctant at first because he was basically a consolation prize. You know,
Yeah.
his fake mom wanted the man in black to be it, so he was kind of a consolation prize, and he was kind of a little upset by that. So it's interesting to see a little bit of that reluctance going through him. But he's good. I think he was a good choice because he's kind of pure to a certain degree. You know, he's very innocent, very
peaceful.
peaceful, lovable kind of guy. It's exactly what you would want. You know, it's just like with Jacob. You know, she chose the wrong person originally, and you know, she finally realized that it was supposed to be him. So it mirrors that a lot, and I liked him. It was really good, and I loved him asking Ben to help him.
Yes,
A little bit
yes.
of finally some redemption kind of for Ben. And that, and then that scene that they had in the, you know, afterlife alternate reality, where he said that, you know, you were a good number two, and he's like, you were a great number one.
Yep.
I thought that was great, 'cause it alludes to that, like, you know, like, oh man, I wish they could see that. You know, I want to see that spin-off of, you know, Hurley running the island. You
Yeah,
know.
see,
Ben playing like.
That shows time span that, oh, this all happens, yeah, when they died, because
Right.
apparently for a certain amount of time, could have been short, could have been long, that Ben and Hurley do have memories of being in charge of the island.
Right. Basically, well, because if you look at it, the afterlife doesn't really have to be in a certain time, so therefore it's just whenever, once they're all dead, this is the afterlife. And like the or this not really, it's like the midpoint between, you know, wherever they're supposed to go and them being alive. So this, you could call it purgatory to a certain degree. This exists like outside of time, so it's just, you know, whenever everyone's already dead. So that makes it so it's, you know, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. But yeah, it definitely showed that there was, because you watch that, you don't know it yet. That's what the whole premise is that they're dead and that. So you're kind of like, what the hell are you talking about? And then you realize it, and it's just, I want to see that. I want to see Hugo and Ben running the island, you know, and then, you know, Rose and Bernard being the wacky neighbors, you know, minding their own business, out of the drama if they can. You know, Vincent running around, you know, that'd be cool. I think that'd be a great show to watch, you know. You know, and then Miles and Sawyer can have their own buddy cop show, you know. And they're, of course, they're dead.
Even more Star Wars references.
Yeah,
That's a kick-ass Jacob.
if Hugo's running the
Dude.
island, man, that'd be fun as hell.
Dude, you can be like Yoda if you become me.
I liked the whole thing where he was talking about like allowing people to leave and stuff like that, and then Ben's like, well, that's how Jacob ran it. You don't have to run it like that. I thought that was really cool, because like, you know, Hurley can kind of do it the way he thinks is best, and it's almost like a bright future for the island itself too. Be interesting. And then the others are still alive, by the way. You know, so that's,
Yeah, whatever happened, I mean, where are they exactly? I
they like
mean,
went
they.
hiding, or no, wait, no, they died. Never mind, they died because Man in Black killed them.
Well, he helped some of them out, basically, you know,
Yeah,
making a peace treaty in a sense.
I don't even know. It's so confusing to try to track everyone.
Where did Lox's group go to, actually?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's.
I'm trying to remember now. It's there's they just kind of got whittled down. I don't remember now.
Oh, yeah, I think. No,
It's not a big
no.
deal.
I was going to say that Widmore killed them all, but no.
No, I don't think he did.
That was the plane passenger people. Sucks for them. They were like in, what, the fifth season? And they were all very good starting characters, and then they all died.
That's how Lost rolls, you know. You know, you never know.
There she is.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Especially
Go ahead.
Anna.
Go ahead.
Jeez. So that final scene, by the way, I don't know if you guys watched that over the credits where you see the plane crash. The initial reaction for most people would be, okay, it's the Oceanic 815. It's a remembrance, you know, sequence. But there were some people that were theorizing that it might have been the Ajira flight, and that, so therefore, you know, because Kate, Miles, Sawyer, Frank, Claire, and Richard all get off the island. In that plane that you see at the end, you know, flying over Jack before he dies,
Yes.
and so there are some people trying to say, oh, maybe they crashed, and then that's what that was. But
And you know, the funny thing
actually,
is did they totally forget about the C4 on the plane? I mean,
that's something I
they
thought about
disarm
too.
it?
I thought they were going to blow that up because like, what's his face? Man, you know, Locke said that there was more, or Widmore said there was more
Yeah.
on the plane. So I'm like, I don't think they would have, you know, had the time, or they didn't obviously go through and like check it all, but I don't know.
Just sort of a plot hole or something,
Yeah,
actually.
maybe.
Well,
I was
Locke
expecting
probably
when
just bullshitted. He probably just like was just using that one explosive. Because think about it, I mean, that one explosive could have killed all of them no matter what.
Right.
But he was just using that as a manipulative in order to get people to the sub. That's what I think it was. Because
I agree.
Four was enough.
That's a good point.
What I was expecting was when the plane was flying over Jack, I thought it was just going to blow up out of nowhere, just right there. And
that would have sucked.
Would have been funny. It would have been funny, but yeah, it would have sucked horribly. But
yeah,
I was expecting
that's a viral
that,
video
I was
right there.
The entire time, you know, there's C4 on the plane still. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to happen.
I was thinking that entire time too, because like they were in that plane. I kept thinking, and Lapidus was kind of a jerk, by the way. and I kept thinking that they were gonna that it was just gonna randomly blow up, but I'm glad it didn't.
Wait a minute. Where'd Lapidus come from?
I was actually happy.
I thought he died in the sub.
No, didn't you see that in an episode? He was floating around. And they found him.
Oh, yeah that's right. Oh, man. But how did he survive that then? He got
he got out before they did.
4-inch steel door slammed into his head. How did he survive that?
Because he's Frank Lapidus. Don't question it.
Now he's Kenny Rogers. Okay.
Exactly. I'm Kenny Rogers. Oh, man. So one of the interesting things that people bring up a lot of times, too, is the idea of, like, who weren't in the group at the end. You know, obviously we saw they alluded to Anna Lucia not being ready yet. So
they didn't show – sorry to interrupt, but they never showed, like, Mr. Echo. I mean,
that's
that was one thing that –
That's actually I was going to bring that up because they actually were – now, we don't know what capacity he was going to be in, but they had actually offered – I was reading this – that they had actually offered whatever his face is that plays Mr. Echo. They had offered him, you know, to a guest spot in that episode, and they offered him supposedly a pretty good amount of money, and he wanted like 4 times that amount. Yeah, it was crazy. And so that was a problem. That was actually a problem they had originally, because they actually wanted Echo to be in the series for pretty much the majority of the season series. They were talking about like a four season arc for him.
Wow.
Yeah, but he was just demanding too much money. He really would have wanted. Apparently, he didn't want to be there anymore, and so he asked for like tons of money because he knew that they wouldn't offer it. And so that's pretty much how he left. Was that he didn't want to be? He really didn't want to do it anymore. So it's kind of sad, like, because he could have been part of it. So there's always, like, issues like that when you do shows like this, is the limitations and the actors and who can be there and stuff.
Greedy bastard.
I know.
Say.
but it's interesting to see the other characters who weren't there. Like, I think basically you can allude to the idea that they were not ready yet, like Anna Lucia. That's pretty much the big one, but I think that, and obviously Echo, you could probably make your own conclusions about that. But, you know, we didn't Michael's on the island. Michael's on the island.
Yeah, he's trapped in the island. But Walt, that's another one.
Well, then the question is, you know, who's important? You know, because it's not – obviously not every single person ever on the island is going to be part of that group. It's going to be the people who are important. Now, I would agree that Walt would probably be considered in that.
But he's just too damn mysterious.
I know, really. Maybe his mystical powers that they never went back to, maybe that made him not die or not be part of it. We didn't see Nikki and Paolo.
Nah, screw them. They're like, I hate Nikki and Paolo.
Everyone hated him. That's why they buried him alive in that episode. That'd been funny if they found a way to bring him back, you know. But so it's interesting to see who was important. But pretty much they got all the main people. Although Juliet was part of it, which is interesting because she was not really a survivor. She was part of the others. But I thought the whole thing where Ben didn't go into the church was interesting.
I thought.
Good.
I think. Corey put it to a good point, you know, all the people in the church are ready to go to heaven, basically, the next world.
Yeah.
And Ben stays behind to maybe do purgatory or go to hell, in a sense, something like that.
That's interesting.
I mean, come on, the guy's a bad guy.
I mean, he's said a lot of bad stuff. I think for him, really, though, was that this was him, you know, with his daughter. I think that's what it really was. I mean, he wants to – yeah, he knows – what he had, but now he wants to experience it. For everyone else, remembering was about, okay, accepting what they've had, and now going, okay, now we've been able to experience what we wanted to experience, and now we can go on. For him, he just hasn't had enough yet, I don't think, because he's just now starting to connect with his, you know, his quote-unquote daughter in a way that's meaningful to him. And obviously, maybe the potential relationship with Danielle Russo. you know, he's going to maybe explore that for a while, and then when he's ready, he can go back. And it's kind of beautiful. Like, I'm not a big religious person or afterlife believer, but if that's like what afterlife is, where you kind of have this chance to kind of live the way that you didn't have before you can move on, a way of letting go, like that's kind of a really kind of poetic, nice way of thinking of the afterlife.
Yeah.
There goes another religion.
I know. The lost religion. But I mean, in reality, I mean, you could. I mean, it's ambiguous enough that you could probably fold it into a lot of other religions. Without it doesn't have to be its own, obviously. You could look at it as, I'm sure if you read the Bible, you could find somewhere in there where you could make it sound like that's part of it. It's vague enough where you could find a way to fit it into the major religions. So that's important because that way everybody who watches it takes out of it what they want, and that they can all relate to it in some way.
It's pretty basic, pretty much.
Yeah.
For a show being so complicated, they left that end very basic.
No, I think that was good. I mean, it was very simple because you have to if you want to get that emotional impact. And so that was, something that I really liked, that they really just kind of whittled it down to this and without Mr. Echo, though.
Demanding too much money.
I'm telling you, man. What's up with that? Yeah, so obviously, there's a lot of questions that people are just going to have, and, you really, for a lot of it, it's just, you got to find a way to let go of that. I like the fact that Richard started to age too. But I wasn't sure what caused that. Was it when Smoke,
I think it
was it Smokey like kicking the crap out of him, or was it because Jack became the new protector?
No, it's because the cork was unplugged.
You think that's what it was? They put it back, but just stopping it alone was enough to like go, okay, your little thing's done.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
The smoke monster stopped. Stopped being smoke. So.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to remember if when it was, at what point in this, if it was before that or after that. Was it after they uncorked it? That's the only thing I don't remember. But I thought it was before that. But if it was after, that'd be a perfect reason why. But. I think there's a couple different things. I mean, you could look at it at when Smokey destroys him, has that super punch, if you will, and then or Jack becoming the new protector, so now he's not under the guise of Jacob. I mean, there's a couple different ways you could look at it, but I like the fact because he throughout this season especially he wanted to die, and so he was now he finally he even says he wants to live because he can now he knows he can age and he can live a real life, and I don't know, I thought that was a nice little touch too.
I think he was already ready to move on, pretty much. Richard.
Yeah. Well, for him, like I said, he was always kind of like, willing to die. I mean, he was going to put the explosives in the Black Rock or in the plane and from the Black Rock and all that stuff. Yeah. So he was kind of ready to die, wanting to die to a certain degree because he had been living so long. He didn't have his wife, and now he didn't have a cause to live for since Jacob was dead. I think he really kind of looked at it as not so much moving on, but just like wanting to end it. And then,
but then he eventually grew into moving on.
Yeah, like I said, I think the aging thing was really kind of the kicker for him to realize, after everything that's gone on, and then now realizing that he can age, he's like, there's light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. That's how I looked at it. I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot of different connections that people are trying to make. There's been some great little tidbits of information that have come out. I'll kind of maybe start with that real quick. The name of the Man in Black, this actually I got from E! Online, is Samuel. So there's some talk about him being, what was that name that no one can pronounce?
Esau.
Yeah, Esau or something like that. Because he was in the Bible, he was a twin to Jacob, but Samuel is a biblical character as well. So that was kind of what they did. It was something simple, but then also, had some meaning to it. I don't know.
I don't think he should have ever gotten a name, really and truly.
Well, that's
just nameless.
I mean, he had a name the entire time, and that they decided to not do it in the show, obviously, because. We all see the impact of that. It made him much more mysterious, much more interesting. So I can see why they didn't do that. But he had a name from the very beginning, they had said. I think it definitely worked, though. It made him a lot more cooler and mysterious. But I can imagine it makes it writing very hard because you can't use his name ever.
Oh, hey. Samuel Sammy Smokey. There you go.
Smokey.
Sammy Smokey. Also, another thing I've learned while reading around was the you know how the candidates at the end, they had their names on the wall, and one of them was Quan. The big question was, which Quan is it?
I believed it was maybe the baby, Ji Young.
Right.
I thought that's what it was.
What'd you think, Chris?
I actually think it was both of them. They were both going to run the island together.
It was originally both. But then Sun was not anymore because she had a baby. And so therefore Jin was the last Quan that was on the list.
That was alone, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. We do actually find out what happens to Walt in terms of at least what happens to him just in his regular life, maybe not so much what his powers are all about and how they relate, but at least what happens in his life we find out on the DVD. They mentioned that. So definitely when the DVD comes out in August, that's something I'm probably going to get so I can get it, that plus a few little tidbits that are supposed to come out in that because everyone wants to know what happened to Walt. Because that really bugged me, the whole fact that they had... I mean, we all know that they didn't bring him back because he had this big growth spurt and they were having trouble trying to figure out how to explain that. But he had this whole, like, supernatural kind of powers to him a little bit. And the question was, like, you know, how does that relate to stuff? So maybe if you go back and watch the episodes, maybe we can figure it out ourselves. But that was the big thing, was, like, why they just left it open like that.
Well, think about it, dude. What two powers has he gotten? He can go on the island from... It was in one part where John Locke was, like, down in that pitch with a whole bunch of dead bodies. And then Walt helps him out. He was, like, in the city, but he was also on the island. I could understand projection. But he could also make birds fly into stuff. Those were the only two powers he had.
Well, those are the powers that they showed. I mean... Those were the consequences of his powers. No one has the power to just put birds into a windshield and stuff like that. It's like he's able to move things. And one of the things that they did was to show that was the birds. But it's really interesting to see, you know, where, because they, you know, they kidnapped him. The others kidnapped him and told Michael that he was special. Like, there's a reason he actually had something. So it'd be. I just wish they bring that back somehow.
I like how they touched base with it when we first realize that Walt is kind of special when he's with his stepfather, I believe, mm-hmm. and his mother, and the bird flies through the window, and his stepfather realizes it. And the old myth is if a bird flies into a window, somebody's gonna die or something, mm-hmm. and. That's when the stepfather lets Michael know that there's something wrong with Walt.
Right.
That he's different from everybody else. So.
I don't know. He sees dead people all the time.
A lot of dead people now.
I don't know, really. One of the things, you know, the whole character of Eloise and Charles even to a certain degree, like, man, she, like, that Eloise seemed to know, like, everything. Like, always. Now, granted, they kind of explained that a little bit because she was on the island, so she got at least glimpses of what happened on the island. So in the future, she's trying to change things.
She was a leader.
Well, yeah, she was. And she had been on the island both, like, in the 50s and then in the 70s and all that stuff. So all that crazy junk that happened, she saw all that happen. And so now and then when she's old and has the white hair, you see how she's kind of directing Desmond and all this other stuff. And, you know, she's doing all that because she knows she doesn't want, she kills her son at the end, back in, was the 50s, I think it was. So when they time traveled. So she wants to try to prevent that. So that's why she's doing all this stuff. And then even in the afterlife alternate universe, she's trying to stop things because she wants to spend more time with her son. And so she's afraid that if he, you know, makes his, her, if, you know, he make, if Desmond makes Daniel realize what his life really was, that he's going to want to, you know, move on. So she's afraid of that. That's the whole reason why she was stopping him. I thought that was pretty interesting, an explanation to all that, which was really cool. You know what I mean? It's a little confusing. I'm sorry.
No, it was sweet.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Anyway, I'll move on then. One of the things I also read, I learned about was, because this topic came up because people were asking, during the fight sequence between Jack and Fake Locke, the weather changed. You notice that?
It started to rain. Yeah.
It was raining, and then all of a sudden it wasn't raining, and then, you know, it was like, it kept changing. And then you see it on the island a lot of times where the weather changes sometimes out of nowhere. I think they even made references to it earlier in the seasons. Like, wow, the weather just changed or something like that. But, what we find out is that the protector of the island can actually change the weather, sometimes subconsciously even. So, like, if you're mad, like, a fight's going to happen, then it starts to rain and, you know, thunderstorms. And whereas, you know, or if you're trying to get, or if you're doing it on purpose, like, you're trying to get the Black Rock to crash, that way you can, you know, deal with that. So it's interesting to see that's kind of a reasoning for the weather changing so fast all the time. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's a pretty badass power for Jacob to have.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, it's like you're God, pretty much, of the island. I mean, it makes
sense. Hey, there's that boat. I need to get it over here. Okay, hurricane, come on.
I'm telling you, man.
Get the cool hurricane here.
I mean, if you're going to protect the island, you got to have powers. I mean, you got to have the ability to protect it, you know? If all you are is just some person who doesn't die, it's not good enough. You know, you got to be able to do something. So, I mean, exactly how he controls the weather, like how far his powers extend, that's something that we'll never know. Another thing that...
Well, if he protects the island, then the island's power extends all around the Earth.
Maybe. Probably.
He, you know, Jacob is able to go on and off the island.
Right. Now, the question is, I don't know if he can use all those powers, though. I mean, he's in control of the island, so he can leave whenever the hell he wants, right? I mean, no, we don't know in what capacity. I don't think he just teleported off the island. He probably took regular transportation. But I would imagine that his actual powers don't go beyond that. It's hard to tell. Because, you know, there's a whole thing about how he touched the candidates and they came back. But was that really important or not? I don't know.
I think it was important. He was marking them in a sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was. That's how he gives the people the powers. Because remember, that's how he touched Richard.
And made him. How the hell did Walt get his powers?
It was drinking. No, well, Walt's powers are totally different, probably. But no, Richard was actually because he drank. It's that whole drinking of the water thing, or
he
whatever it is.
Water.
Yeah, he drank the wine. Drank. The wine.
But he also grabbed Jacob. Also touched him on the shoulder, and he says, "Now that." He grabbed him on the shoulder.
Yeah,
I can.
He also fought. He also dragged a guy into the ocean. Like, I don't think that was the issue. It was the fact that he drank. Because you see it all. You saw it with when his mom, quote unquote, you know, gave him the power, and then when he gave Jack the power, and then when Jack gave Hurley the power, it was all they all drank. And so I think that's the same thing with Richard. So he gave him a different power. It was just the ability not to die. That's what it was all about was. You know, the drinking of the liquid, so.
Richard even also said, talking about is that Jacob touched me, and supposedly it's a gift, but really it's a curse. When he was saying that, I think that's a clue, then that touching means something.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, they alluded to that. The touching means something. It doesn't change you, obviously, because then otherwise all of them would be not able to die or something. So, no, it just means that he was marking them as, you know, you could be a replacement for me. Because then I'm going to die. I wonder who Hugo's replacement is.
Ben. No, not Ben. Never
the
mind.
The new, I don't know. Well, the new, you know, the new lost, you know. Who's going to replace Hugo?
Found.
Yeah, it'll be called Found.
What's a synonym for lost? We'll just go keep going making series like that.
It'll be called Stole. that'd be funny. Oh, and then one little thing, I don't know if you guys remember this, way back, I can't remember what episode it was in, but when Ben goes into the cabin to see Jacob, and you see, you know, someone whispers, help me, I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes, that was, yeah, Locke goes in there too with him, doesn't he?
I can't remember.
Yep.
But
Jacob claims, or I mean, not Jacob, Ben claims that he sees Jacob, and Locke believes he's just crazy out of his mind,
because he doesn't see
anybody. And Locke hears the help me part.
Yeah, and then you see like a foot maybe or something, and so what I found out was that it was actually it was Christian Shepherd, so it was actually the Man in Black pretending to be Jacob, because you know, like you said, or like Ben mentioned later, that he's never actually met Jacob, so he thought that was Jacob. Now, that's interesting, though. I'd have to go back and watch it. Was he taking orders from this guy? You know, now, he said he didn't have any contact, so I imagine he was getting his stuff from Richard. But, you know, if he wasn't, maybe he was actually taking some sort of direction from the Man in Black and not realizing it.
No.
Well, the thing is
that Ben was following Richard is just that's the first time you ever heard Jacob. How can he be following that guy?
I'm talking about Ben.
Yeah, Ben. That's the first time he ever...
He's heard of Jacob before that, though. It's just that... Because that's the whole thing. Like, the whole point of that scene was that Ben went... what's his face? Locke wanted to Ben to show him Jacob. That was the whole point of that sequence. So, yeah, obviously Jacob's been there. Jacob's been around for a while, so he knows about Jacob already. But that was the thing. Is that there was the question of... Because remember when that happened, the big question was, you know, is Ben making it up? Is he crazy? And
actually, wasn't one of the producers who was... I'm not saying it was in the show Jacob. It was one of the producers. I'm saying that person who said, help me,
mm-hmm.
was, I think, that tall, squared-faced producer.
No, it was actually...
I forgot his name.
No, they confirmed it was actually the guy that played Christian Shepherd actually did the voiceover for it. They confirmed that. So... I mean, so the whole thing, both, you know, when you see the guy sitting in the chair or, like, the outline of him, that's Christian Shepherd. The guy plays Christian Shepherd. So it was, you know, it was Locke being, or not Locke, Ben in Black being, let's call him Samuel now, being as that character. There's a lot of, like, those, like, biblical stuff. I mean, look at that, Christian Shepherd.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you, Christian must have been so pissed about this guy constantly playing as him in his body. I can't just imagine this ghost like, stop playing me.
You know, maybe he liked it, I don't know. But so let's get to the big question, I guess, a lot of people has is the numbers. You know, we find everyone always wants to know what the numbers are, what their significance are. You know, the finale really didn't do much to answer those at all, but we did get some stuff during this season, though. I mean, you saw that the numbers were correlated to the candidates, but there's an you know, and so the question of why they're important or why they show up all the time is still there. However, there's I don't know if you guys played or read anything about the Lost Experience, the first viral that they really had. That's kind of how nice this all relates back to us. They actually did this whole experience, and I followed it, and it was really confusing and crazy, but I was reading up on it recently again. And they had, you know, through the course of this thing, they had basically had said that the Hanso Foundation were the guys that funded the Dharma Initiative. And so this all kind of plays into what everyone was doing there. You know, the Dharma Initiative was on the island because it had, you know, those electromagnetic properties. Obviously, we saw, you know, If you didn't know why something was happening, but you know that the effect of Jacob was there, you know, like, that's some pretty crazy stuff going on that island. You'd want to study that. So that's the whole thing, is that they, you know, they were there to kind of study that stuff, including supposedly one of the reasons why they had a weather station, or, you know, they were studying the weather because, guess what, there's a guy there who can control it. So it's like, that's some interesting crap going on. Let's try to figure
out. I think Jacob purposely brought them there, though.
Not the Dharma Initiative?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. He brings the people to the island.
Doubt it.
In his way, he causes the plane crash and he brings a black rock over here. I think that it was all set up for the Dharma Initiative to come, set up the fences, and give the others a better way to live. That's what I think.
But they did the whole purge thing, though, where they killed all of the Dharma Initiative.
Yeah, that was the others' doing. Remember, Jacob can't interfere.
Right.
Whether they did it peacefully and lived there or not,
that's true.
It was Jake couldn't interfere.
I looked at it as though the others were kind of, you know, that was Jacob trying to figure out, trying to see if people could be good and, you know, and try to prove Samuel wrong. And then the Dharma Initiative was just people that just came on their own to try to... you know, to figure it out. There's some allusions to that in the viral, too, that they came here on their own. I mean, you could always try to say this whole metaphysical, like, he planned this all out, but, you know, but at least in terms of the actual doing, they did this themselves. And there's no really, there's nothing where Jacob ever mentions really that he Dharma Initiative was important at all to him. So it'd be really hard to make that connection. Although, I mean, it's possible. I mean, I don't think he brings everyone to the island. I think if you, they had to find the lamppost station, which gave them access to the island. They had to find that and create that. So it's really down to them. But yeah, so they come and study everything, and then part of it was because basically what happened was that the right after the Cold War, the or not the Cold War, right after the missile crisis in Cuba. The which is part of the Cold War, there was something called the Vallanzetti equation that was created. What happened? And this is all part of the viral. This is all fake. But so what happened was that they, you know, they were trying to see, like, kind of like the, you know, you guys have heard of the Doomsday Clock, right?
Yes.
The thing where the atomic people, scientists, they change the time, however close they think we are to basically destroying
nuclear.
Yeah. However, so the closer it is to midnight, the, you know, the more likely we are to destroy ourselves. So this was actually an equation to try to figure out when that would happen. And so, you know, these numbers were actually part of the fundamental components of that equation. And so therefore, the numbers kind of show up a lot in the world, supposedly, especially when it comes to, you know, bad things or things being destroyed, because there's such an important factor in this equation. And, you know, it's interesting. They don't really mention really that too much in the movie, in the show, I mean. But that's a big part of the numbers, is the fact that they, obviously we've seen how they correlate to the survivors, the last candidates. But they're also part of this equation. I thought that was pretty interesting. There's the whole thing, if you read, like, one of the sources I've used a lot for people who are really trying to figure this all out is Lostpedia.com. Or Lostpedia.
Yes.
And that's such a great site, and it has such a great... you know, the information there is just great, and it's all really nice and succinct. And so if you go there and you look up, you know, Lost Experience, it's probably the easiest way to find all this, the Lost Experience. It's a really great background on Dharma Initiative, the Hanso Foundation, which, you know, funded it, kind of how they found the island a little bit. You know, technically you could say this, none of this is canon because it's not part of the actual show, but I mean, they guys, the marketing company for IBC actually did this and everything. So to me, at least, I consider it at least sort of canon, because otherwise I'd go crazy. But I mean, I think it's kind of an interesting way of trying to explain that away a little bit. Was the, you know, and that's why when Hurley is using the numbers for the lottery, you know, it turns into bad stuff, because these numbers are almost like inherently bad numbers. You know, that's why whenever you see the numbers, they're usually either, a lot of times they're associated with bad things, because they're part of this fundamental equation that shows when we're going to be destroyed. And now from anything I read and from I remember, there was never an actual date given. But and I have some questions about that, the whole Dharma Initiative. Like, supposedly the Dharma Initiative ended in the late 80s, but, you know, how they had if you remember when they had the food come down that one time?
And so that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's, and they were still pushing the numbers. The way I look at it is that technically, like, officially on the books, or at least to the public, the Dharma Initiative was done. That it had failed, and that they were, you know, but then what they realized, because we saw what happened, they released that pocket of energy, which if it hadn't been for the nuclear bomb, that it would have, you know, it would have made this problem where they had to keep pushing the number. So, you know, that was still going on. They had to keep doing that. So little things like that, they kept going. Pretty much, it looked like, at least from what I saw, it was just that they kept going. But so I think that those food drops were specifically for Desmond, or for whoever was the one doing that. So it's kind of interesting. It's one of the things where I'm going to watch the whole series again and try to see how things connect, or how I can make things make sense, because it's really interesting. And for me, that the whole Egyptian connection is really interesting.
Yes, I just want to ask about that, you know, just... That's one of the mysteries that I wanted to find out right away, was what's with the Egyptian mythology and stuff. And I actually read up a lot of connections from old Egyptian myth that relate to Lost in so many ways, that Jacob and I want to say Man in Black, Samuel, were gods, and the original protector, their fake mother, was also a god, and they're basically at war and stuff. It's just a whole bunch of Egyptian mythology, and that's one of the things that I wanted to see answered. But
they really didn't. I mean, they almost just made it even worse by having that crazy
statue.
Yeah, with a statue there, but then in the season finale, when that whole thing that surrounded the source, you know, the sculpt, how it was sculpted, and I don't know what you call it, just like the, you know, even the plug itself was Egyptian. There's hieroglyphs on it. Like, they were just like, they just threw that in there just to piss us off, I think. It was like, it was crazy. Like, but the way I look at it is like, those ancient Egyptians were kind of like the original Dharma Initiative. You know, they went out there to try to figure out what's going on, but they took a much more religious tone, obviously. They saw it as being like, oh, it's the gods and stuff, whereas Dharma was really trying to push for the whole science part of it. You know, because it's more modern. So, but back then they saw it as, you know, they went here and they explored it and they were like, oh, it's religion.
But, men of faith and men of science. Holy crap!
I'm telling you, man, it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. And it's really interesting to see. I mean, I would love to know, you know, why they create that. What was it like before they got there? You know, because that source, the light source, theoretically, has it always been there? You know, there's so much stuff that you want to know, but it's like there's no way you could know all of it. I mean, I think even if we knew the answer, it wouldn't be satisfying. Because, you know, everyone has their own beliefs and their own ideas. And they do that on purpose on the show. They want you to have your own kind of, you know, even the philosophy of Jacob and the Man in Black and their powers. Like, are they science powers? Like, are they, you know, like something where they're, you know, it's some sort, like they said, the electromagnetism, which they kind of just kind of blazon that on everything is like, that's the reason why things happen. Electromagnetism. You know, so is it that, or is it really some sort of supernatural thing? You know, and that's something that they kind of leave open to interpretation. I think if they try to explain too much about the light source and about all that stuff, I think that you kind of push it towards one direction or the other. And I think that they just wanted to avoid that. Cause a lot of it's, they want you to be able to interpret it, but man, it really racks your brain, man.
Yeah.
All the Egyptian stuff. But it's kind of cool. Like, that's how I look at it. But, man, how do you get from Egypt over there? And that's what I don't understand.
Boats, like, man.
Boat crash or some crazy shilling.
Because you have to go through – I guess you could just go down the channel, the Persian Gulf, then you're good to go. But, man, that's a pretty long boat ride. But that's the thing is like the whole, like, you know how they say that the island moves like in time and space? Like, man, where the hell does it, you know, go to? Like, you know, we already saw how the Nigerian plane got there. That was crazy. And so, like, does it go all the way to Africa? Like, I don't know. Like, I would imagine it's the Mediterranean it went to.
But it moves. It just moves. That island and the island next to it moves.
Yeah, they both move. What's up with that? Like, it's not even just one island. How do you make multiple islands? Maybe that was the original Atlantis. It didn't really sink. It just moved.
It's plate tectonics at its best.
That's the most craziest plate tectonics
Finally, it's
ever.
Interesting.
Oh, man. Try to explain that in a science class. See,
you wouldn't think a satellite would find out this little island moving around the entire map.
Well, because it's time also. It's like its own time. I think it creates like this like sort of like warping thing, so it's like you can't see it. It's like it hides itself to a certain degree. I don't know, like trying to explain it would just be way too complicated.
Yeah. And again, here we go, trying to explain the complicated stuff when the thing that really matters is the character.
Right, and you know, you see how frustrating it is? And you see how frustrating it is to try to explain all this? You just start getting mad almost, because it's like, oh, and I don't know if that just means that they, like, you're mad because, like, man, they really should have done all this, but it's more like, you know, you just gotta let it go. You just gotta accept things. You know, you're never gonna be able to, just like people in general, you're never gonna understand everything. So you just gotta, you know, accept it for what it was. I mean, like you said, it's all about the characters. That's what it came down to. And it was great to see everyone, or at least almost everyone, come back, you know, and to see them kind of get their one last happy moment before they, because, man, there's some crazy bad stuff happening on that island. So, you know, to see them all at least once more really, you know, have happy, you know, Jack had a son and all that stuff. Like, the fact that they got to live lives that, you know, that they didn't really have a chance to before. You know, I thought that was kind of a really nice way of, you know, like, Eloise, even going all the way up to Eloise and Charles, they were together. You know, and that's the thing, is like, they were not together in the original one, so. You know, these things where it's like every little thing, you know, this wasn't a perfect world, but it was a world in which they were much more happier with their lives, or they got a chance to live the life that they had wanted to. don't know. It was interesting, to say the least. I don't know. What else do you guys? What do you guys? Final thoughts on? Unless you have anything else, the final thoughts on the show in general. What you guys take away from the whole experience and what you think about it?
I really wish I didn't stop at season 3. I watched it from season 1, from 2004 up until 2006. Yeah, and I don't know. I just started losing interest, and just recently I had to. I watched the LAX season 6 because I heard so much buzz about that.
Right.
So I watched that, and I realized, wow, it's, you know, bringing back good times, and basically got back into Lost, watching season after season, and I got hooked again.
Yeah, it definitely gets you hooked if you, you know, it has that kind of, it's like a drug sometimes. What about you, Chris?
I think that, you know what, this show has been an incredible fan service in a way that it really connected with the fans and its viral and stuff, because in, like, when people, like, when the fans started calling the Samuel Man in Black, they called him Man in Black, and Lock Smokey. Monster, they call him,
Lock
you
Monster.
Know, Smokey, Lock Monster, you know, they actually used from names that, from what the fans decided and all that stuff, just basically what the fans did fueled them and influenced them more than most other shows that I've seen. I've never seen, like, the OC be influenced by its fans to do something. I don't know.
No, I agree. I mean, I think Nikki and Paula was a great example of that, where you kind of had people kind of wanting something a little bit different, maybe some additional stuff, and then so they brought these people in, but then people looked at it as like, you're intruding on our space. Like, these aren't real people to us, you know? And even that really kind of crazy episode where they try to place them in the history of it, I thought that was so weird. And so they realized, hey, look, people aren't liking this, so let's just kill them off. And so they buried them alive. it was like you're right. I mean, they really do it. And it was really surprising to see that they were able to succeed at least the majority of what they wanted to do, despite all your normal TV issues. You know, they didn't know when they were going to end, so they kind of, you see it in season 2 a little bit, how they kind of stretched out the storyline a little bit. You know, people didn't come back, you know, like Echo, you know, wanting too much money, you know, they changed it from Jack because the network didn't want Jack to die. So they, you know, they kept Jack in there. And the fact they had, you know, they made a lot of changes and they were able to do it. You know, Walt, great example. They had made a lot of changes. And for the most part, they were able to still keep their vision and still do something that was pretty profound. That's saying a lot to those guys, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, the executive editors. And of course, J.J. Abrams, who created it all and had a huge presence, especially in the pilot, but also in the first season. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing they were able to do this. And, you know, we've already seen how it's kind of changed the landscape of television a little bit. I mean, it was shot like a film. We've seen that a little bit here and there in shows like 24, but not that often. I'm sure it brought a lot of business to Hawaii.
You know, we've had to say goodbye to several shows these past few days.
So yeah, some pretty iconic ones.
24, V,
Heroes.
Yeah, Heroes. Oh yeah, that fateful cancellation.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I put V. Oh, V's. First of all, V's coming back, but
It is. Oh, yeah, I thought it was.
It's Flash Forward is the one that's getting canceled.
Oh yeah,
I don't know how that came.
We've had to say goodbye to so many things.
Well, in May is when they do all the upfronts, which we actually have a couple articles on. So that's when they always announce what's coming back, what's not coming back. So, but yeah, we've had a couple big ones this season where we've had, you know, Lost ending, but we already knew that was going to happen. 24 ending, some pretty big. I mean, Law and Order probably being the biggest one. So there's a lot of shows that have really ended. But it's nice that Lost, at least, and we knew this from a couple seasons ago, they got to end on their own terms, and that's always hard to do in television.
I just want to say, you know, will there ever be a show to fit in that caliber to basically replace Lost? I mean, ABC has to step up again.
Yeah, it's tough. Honestly. They've tried to. I mean, we've seen it even after the first season. We saw some shows that tried to emulate the concept of Lost, where you kind of have, you know, multiple characters, and then there's some mystery going on, and, you know, and it just seems like everything just really fell by the wayside. I mean, there's a bunch of shows that are like that. And there's some they even have a couple of new ones. If you go to abc.com, you can see their previews. I think they have something called The Event, which is supposed to be kind of like that. And It's just a lot of times it's hard to as much as they try and they do all the time, it's hard to successfully emulate something that you've already done. We see copycats all the time in Hollywood and TV,
Oh, yeah.
and it's just hard to actually make something that's a, you know, that's the whole concept. It's like it's a copycat. It can't be good. So it'd be hard to find some. I mean, they got really lucky because I think that same year they actually Desperate Housewives came on the air. It was the first year they had. The ABC had not been doing very well in this, in, among the big networks, and so then all of a sudden they had, you know, Lost, they had Desperate Housewives, they had probably another show too, but those are the two big ones, and you know those got huge ratings, got really popular, and I mean that kind of really changed their lineup a lot, and they've gotten some, you know, they got Grey's Anatomy, I think that might even have been that year, Grey's Anatomy came around, so they, I mean, they had a huge revolution in their on their network, and Lost was a big part of that. And it really helped out them. Now NBC needs something like that, I think. But yeah, I mean, this show was just great. I mean, for me, I mean, watching it, I was always someone who's big on the mythology, but trying to figure out what's going on, you know, no matter how frustrated I got with it, you always keep watching. And you know, what brought you back was really the characters. I mean, no matter how frustrating it got or where what turns it took, you really were following these characters. You cared what happened to them, and you know, and they were very likable. I mean, they're so. Everyone was like perfectly cast. Josh Holloway as Sawyer was just brilliant. I mean, he's perfect in that role. And Jack is such a great Matthew Fox as Jack was just great. And you know, Ben Linus, Michael Emerson
Michael Emerson, yeah.
Playing him was just. I mean, you can't get something more perfect than that. That kind of great creepy kind of ominous tone and everything, and the pure faithness of Terry.
Terry O'Quinn.
Terry O'Quinn, yeah, playing Locke. It was such a great cast. And then, you know, you go through this, you're watching all the mythology, and then, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, that's the biggest thing that I took out of this was like, I didn't realize until this season, especially, how much the characters meant to me. You know, when Jin and Sun first meet up again after they'd been, you know, separated for so long, and you know, a couple other times like that. I mean, you watch it and you're just like, I was crying. I remember when they first did that, and then when they died, you know, in the submarine. It's like, you know, these things really affect you, and you almost kind of forgot that these characters were so important and so real and so good until this season. And I think even on the other end of the spectrum, you know, Locke changing from being Locke to the monster. I think that was really cool, and that you know you got to really see the difference. He really was a different person. It just goes to show, like these characters, like you know these characters so well that when they change, you can tell. And it's just, I thought that's overall, like I said, it's all about the characters, and you don't. I think if they hadn't done it like this, you wouldn't have taken that away from the show. I think people would have forgotten that the characters were important, and doing it the way they did, you know, it's very polarizing. I know that a lot of people didn't like it, a lot of people do like it, but it's, I mean, it's effective. You know, it did what it needed to do, is to show you, hey, it's almost like reminding you, like you said, the whole theme of that episode and eventually the whole season was, you know, remember and then move on, you know. And I think that's, I mean, that's in so many ways, that's just so brilliant. It's just a great testament to how brilliant the show was. And I know there's parts when you go back and watch earlier episodes, how they connect to this and they connect to the overall plot and things like that. And you know, you watch it, just that's, I just love it when you have really brilliant, brilliant television and writing. It's so hard to find that. You see so much crap on television.
Yes, MTV for one.
Yeah, you know, and you have Gossip Girl and 16 and Pregnant and all that crap. So, you know, you see all these like really just poorly written stuff or very superficial. And this is something that really went deep. I mean, to do a sci-fi show like this where people are lost on an island, people are gonna think it's Gilligan, you know, and then you have, you know, it's kind of sci-fi, and then now you have a little bit of religiousness and everything, and yet you still make characters that people care about. I mean, it's not much you can say except for it's just amazing.
It is. It just is.
I'm gonna start crying now.
Shut up.
Don't tell me what I can't do. So yeah, I mean that's Lost. I mean, we obviously there's always gonna be questions. Hopefully, you know, we've gotten a few of the important ones, and you know, like go to Lostpedia, you'll see on that site all the different questions people still have, and you know, but you can still, you can infer a lot of stuff. I really suggest if you watch the series and you watch the finale, go back and watch it again. I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch all the episodes again because I think you'll see stuff that you missed because you didn't know the whole picture. And I think it'd be pretty cool. And
that's what this season finale is actually going to make you go do. You know how you said it reminded you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably going to make you go through the entire seasons again and saying, oh, wow, look at what these characters did, really did.
Exactly.
And their emotions and stuff. They're probably that's a marketing tool, too.
I'm telling you, man.
That's what it's to.
Well, they did that. They had a really during the finale, after the finale, they had the whole Jimmy Kimmel special, and they were promoting the DVD. They have both the season 6, but also the full series comes out August 24th, I think. So they're obviously pushing that. But that's something you do. You watch it, and you're just like, man, I just want to watch it all now. Now, right now, to my understanding, I think it still is. You can actually watch the entire series online at ABC.com. I'm sure that's not going to last forever. So I think I have the first two seasons on DVD, so I'll probably have to get the rest of them. I don't buy a lot of TV shows. So
what were the alternate endings?
They're all fake. They're all just
they're
joke.
All fake?
They're all joke. They're joking around. Like they were all.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there was.
Of a better ending. I couldn't think of a better ending than Jack and Vincent and closing.
They had that planned all.
How can you have an alternate ending to that?
They had it planned all along. So yeah, there was no alternate ending. But it's funny because like they did it as though it was the Sopranos. Like they just completely mimicked the Sopranos where they went into the shop and it turned to black, and they just did all these different series finales that they mimicked. It was actually pretty funny, but it's funny because they actually did do an alternate ending that was fake, where they wrote a script and they actually they were trying to test to see if there was any leaks. And so before I imagine it was before they gave out the real scene, they gave out the script that showed that they were going to have a wedding in that same church, and it was going to be Jin and Sun's wedding. And so they had sent that out to see if anybody would leak it, because that's what they were afraid of, was they didn't want people leaking the final, you know, the final scene. And then it never got out until after the series finale came out, because it just came out today. So they knew that it was fine. So then they went ahead with, you know, doing it right. But so they had actually sent out a whole, I think it was like a script page or a partial script or something, where it actually had Jin and Sun getting married in that same church. So that's pretty funny. Because you always got to be afraid of that. Because that was the big thing where, before the season 3 finale, which was the one that revealed that that episode was a flash forward. That was the first flash forward they ever had. That was the one where it leaked online. And that was a big deal. Was the fact that it leaked online. And so they were pissed. That's when they started doing the whole radio silence thing that the creators did. So it's funny to see that they're really worried about that kind of stuff. So. That's the thing where it's like, to watch the end of that season finale was like one of the best season finales I've ever seen, the season 3 one. Because just to see that whole flash, you know, you're watching this thing, you think it's a flashback, it's a flash forward. So this thing like was even better than that, but just they really know how to keep you hanging on there. All right, I think that's it. I mean, do you guys have any other comments you want to make about Lost?
I have one complaint, just one, and it was in the series finale.
Okay.
When Jack and Locke, or Flock, or Samuel, I guess, when they're fighting on the clifftops, and you know Jack is going to get beat. You just know, you feel it, he's going to, you know, he's going to lose.
All right.
And boom, who shoots him? I'm curious to see who shot, who won, who did it, who shot him. And it's Kate with the cheesiest fucking one-liner.
Oh, yeah, one-liner. Oh, God.
I was like, oh, God.
That was
of all people, of all trades, it was her who, you know, I saved one bullet, and, you know, it's just, that's one thing
It was pulled so greatly, though. How cheesy can you get?
It was really cheesy.
Really great.
But, I mean, it makes sense to her character. I agree. It came off as pretty cheesy. But, I mean, because she was the one character you saw right after they got out of the sub. She was the one that really cared about those characters, like, you know, them being dead and everything. And, like, she was the one that was really affected by that. So, of course, she's going to be the one that's pissed at Locke for killing those people. So, it was good that someone had a voice. But that's the one thing, it's like, and people always bring this up too, is the whole Jin and Sun dying. Like, what about their daughter? Like, you just left your daughter to be an orphan, basically. Although the argument is that by the time that it would have been okay, you know, that by the time he would have decided to leave, it would have been probably too late anyway. That's the only argument that I've heard that's even reasonable, but it didn't make that scene any less effective, so it's okay. But yeah, and that's, you know, that's pretty much Lost right there.
I
best
have
show
three
of all
things.
Time.
Oh wait, what'd you say, Chris?
I have three things to say.
Oh wow, okay.
First off, I want a viral video of when Jack is looking at the plane going above him. He's lying down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I want that plane blowing up and then cutting to the scene with all the wreckage on the beach. And that would explain. I want that. I want to see someone do that.
That'd be cool.
the second thing,
mm-hmm.
Lost creators, for some reason, like every time I saw Locke deflecting bullets, it reminded me of some creepy Superman thing.
Yeah.
Every time. It was, thank you for making Superman look like Locke.
There you go.
Another, and the final thing, the entire Lost experience, it's been a wonderful ride with the fans and the creators themselves. It's been great. A great, great experience.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It'll never be a show.
Those 6 years was a thrill. It really was.
I agree. It was definitely, I mean, it's the only show I've been able to, I don't think I've ever watched an entire series, like every episode for 6 years straight. I mean, I don't think I've ever done that before. So yeah, definitely. I agree. It's something where it's so captivating and it's some good quality television that you don't get to see a whole lot. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me. And, you know,
thank you.
I hope that, you know, everyone out there, can really hopefully more appreciate the finale more if they were a little apprehensive. you know, I just hope that we all can one day get back together, you know, in a church and, you know, and move on.
See that light.
Exactly. So, namaste. And that's it. All right, thanks, guys.
It's been fun.
Thank you.